Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Jesus brings good news. In fact, Jesus is good news. Where Jesus is, there is good news, and we rejoice in that. Here again, the words of our gospel reading. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He went about the villages teaching. This is our text. That gospel lesson tells us that Jesus was rejected by the people of his own hometown. They thought they knew him. And they did. They knew his family. They knew his mom. They knew his siblings. And they knew Jesus. But they didn't really know who he was. And that's a reminder that it's possible to know about Jesus, to know of Jesus, and yet not really to believe and trust in Jesus. Sometimes we think, well, you know, it'd be so much easier if we could just physically see Jesus. It'd be so much easier to believe in him. It wouldn't be. It would be harder. To believe in Jesus means to believe not with your eyes, but to believe with your ears. Because Jesus doesn't fit anyone's idea of a Savior, at least in terms of what they see. In our gospel reading, it says, Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Jesus could do no mighty work in his own hometown. But why not? It's a good question. We already know from Mark's gospel that Jesus could do amazing things. He had cast out demons, he healed the sick, he calmed the storm, he even raised a dead girl back to life. Jesus was so full of power that one lady touched his garment and was healed, and yet it says Jesus could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people. Now, it's not that Jesus wasn't physically capable. It's not that somehow he didn't have the power. He had the power. He chose not to do many miracles there, except for a few. Why? Well, one answer might be because of God's judgment. God is showing judgment upon these people by not doing many miracles. And that kind of makes sense if we run it that way. You think, well, you know, these people didn't honor Jesus. Why should Jesus do a bunch of miracles for his hometown folks if that's the way they're going to treat him? And sometimes people think that way about God. They pray for a miracle, they pray for healing, and they never get better, the miracle never comes, and they think, well, I guess God's judging me. I guess God doesn't want me to have that miracle because he's upset or mad at me because of something I've done in my past or something I'm currently doing. Now, that sounds like a logical answer, but that doesn't match with what we know about Jesus. Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. The beginning of Mark's gospel goes like this: the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The coming of Jesus is gospel. In other words, it's good news. Jesus comes to bring salvation to people who don't deserve it. That's what grace is. He's not about bringing judgment. He's about bringing salvation. People will question him. People will misunderstand him. People will reject him. But Jesus comes to bring salvation for all of those people. So the reason Jesus didn't do many miracles there cannot be because God's judging those people. That's not the reason. Well, maybe the reason then is because the people didn't believe. And it does say Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. And in some ways that makes sense. When faced with a lack of faith, Jesus doesn't do miracles. Or does he? You'll find that thinking among people today. People will pray for healing, and some churches will teach you, and preachers will teach you that God wants to do good for you, God wants to bless you, but you need to have faith. If you believe enough, you will get your miracle. And there are churches that will teach that. And that sounds really good. Sounds enticing. Until you don't get your miracle. And now you got two problems. You got the problem of whatever you were praying for to be fixed. And now you have the problem which you think you don't have faith or faith enough. And you have two crises rather than just one. God does not need your faith to do a miracle. Miracles are demonstrations of God's power over all creation. And the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them doesn't need your faith to do a miracle. When Jesus fed the 5,000, when he stilled the storm, when he raised people from the dead, nobody had faith that he was going to do those things. But he did them. And on the last day, who's going to be raised? Everybody. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. Those who have faith and also those who don't have faith. Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and come out." So then why does Jesus not do mighty works in his own hometown? Well, the Word of God helps us understand the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul in our epistle lesson actually helps us with this very question. Jesus, in his infinite wisdom and love, allows miracles not to be done because that's better for the person. I'll say that again. Jesus, in his infinite wisdom and love, allows miracles not to be done because that's better for the person. We think, well, how can that be? God knows better than we do. And it's possible that God knows that it's better that a person not have a miracle than that person receive one. The Apostle Paul, great man of faith, writer of a number of letters in the New Testament, had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us. But he had a thorn in the flesh that he believed hindered his ministry. He asked God to remove it because he thought he could be a better servant of God if he didn't have this problem, whatever it was. And he knew God was not punishing him by sending him this thorn. He knew that God forgave him all of his sins, that he stood in the grace of God. He asked God to remove that thorn in the flesh. And what was God's answer? God's answer was no. God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." It was for Paul's own good that God allowed him not to be healed. To not heal Paul, to not take away that thorn in the flesh, was a greater act of love than to heal him. Now that may not make sense to us, but God knows what is best, and God loves you more than you realize. More than you realize. And how do we know that? Because God gave up his own son that your life would be spared. God sent his own son to hell rather than have you being sent to hell. God shows his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Those people in Nazareth, the hometown of Jesus, for some reason were not ready for the miracles, except for a few. For Jesus to have done them would have brought judgment upon them. At Jesus would have performed miracles in the face of their unbelief, it would have only increased God's condemnation for those people on the last day. And so God, Jesus, only did miracles for a few. So also for you, I would encourage you, pray for miracles. Pray for miracles. And go big. Go big. Be bold. You have not because you ask not. And when a miracle comes, thank the Lord. But when no miracle comes, also thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, saying, Lord, you know far better than I do what's best for me. And it's best for me that I not have this miracle. Then, Lord, fill me with praise for your great love and mercy. That'll sustain me in the face of every circumstance. God is working in the midst of all of our situations. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. And he's always working to draw you closer to himself, to assure you that you are forgiven before God, that you have peace with God, that you are loved by God, the creator of all things. Jesus is on a mission of grace, then and now. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And he will continue to assure you of his grace in the face of all circumstances. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.